Welcome back to another episode of Interview You. This is your host, Lewis Shine. And hey, have another special episode today. But before I get into what we're going to talk about today, I want to shout out my partners, Dr. Dish. First of all, again, shout out to Dr. Dish for their recent partnership with FIBA, as well as many other partnerships that they have, partnered with a lot of different entities lately. Just want to shout out them for this, just their advancement and, partnering with different people and getting out there more and touching lives, because I believe that not only with the products that they have, are they significant to the basketball space, but they're also significant because of the care behind what they do. They care about people. They care about, the individuals that are inspired behind what they do. So, I mean, you can totally see that as they post on social media, some of the things that they're doing. It's very amazing, and I'm so honored to be partnered with them. And they make great machines, great products. If you're in the market for a product from them, a shooting machine, you can join, programs like Duke, North Carolina, Baylor, Florida, countless others. Even when I coached at the D1 level, we had a Dr. Dish machine and I would use it with my players. So I know what the product is like. I've used it. I stand behind it. Make sure if you're in the market for a shooting machine, check out Dr. Dish. They've revolutionized the industry. Make sure you visit their website, drdishbasketball.com. That's drdishbasketball.com. And on social media, Dr. Dish B-Ball. Make sure you check them out. Give them a follow. Check out some of their recent posts. They have a lot of great content that will not only help yourself or your players or your children that play basketball. I believe it'll help you out greatly. And also, our other partner, David Roberts State Farm. That's David Roberts State Farm for your auto, home insurance needs, life insurance. Make sure that if you're in the Ohio area, please visit agentdavidroberts.com. That's agentdavidroberts.com. Or you can reach them by calling 419-420-7700. That's 419-420-7700.
Well, hey, everybody, we have another special guest on the show today. He is not a stranger to the game of basketball. So excited to get into this episode. But without further ado, we want to welcome to the show Coach Antoine Harris. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Lou? What's going on? How you doing?
Doing good, man. Hope all is well your way, man. Excited to have you on the show just to tell your story, man, and talk through, life and the game of ball and what the Lord has done for you, man. So, man, let's kind of get into this thing, man. Question I like to ask is, man, where was the game of basketball introduced into your life?
That's a great question, Lou. The game of basketball was introduced to me early, at the age of 5. I grew up in a house with older brothers, and they all just – they loved the game of basketball. Big Michael Jordan fans, so the Bulls is all I knew growing up. Bulls, Fab Five. So I was introduced to ball at the age of 5, and my mom was my first coach. However, my brothers, they kind of took the lead on that and just kind of, backyard basketball, making me tough. Never gave me anything easy. So, yeah, that was my journey, though. Between my mom and those guys, they got me right.
Man, so, just during that course of time, man, start growing up in the game, at what point for you did you recognize that basketball, that you had something with the game? You know, like they call it, smelling yourself or something like that. Like,
throughout that process, I honestly, I don't really know when that happened. I don't even think it ever happened, honestly. Here, I will tell you this, that my house growing up was so competitive. It's like something was just instilled in me, because I had older brothers. They talk trash and they tease you. So it's like in our house, you don't want to get teased. You do not want to get teased. You don't want to get embarrassed. So the way of not getting embarrassed is to be good at something, whether it's video games, whether it's football, whether it's basketball. So I knew that I did not want to get embarrassed, because later on that night, it was going to be a whole lab session on whatever happened that day in sports, right? So I just committed myself at a young age to just really go hard every time we stepped out, because we played outside now. You know, kids out nowadays really don't play outside that much, but we played outside. We had a rim in the front yard, and we went at it from sun up to sundown whenever it was warm outside. So sometimes when it was even cold. But I didn't want to lose. I didn't want to lose. I was always on the team. I think my brothers did this. They always, because some brothers were better than others, and for some reason I was on the team with some of my brothers that wasn't that good. So I was like, all right, I see how this is. I just got to get better. So going through that, it just kind of been instilled to me to go hard and just kind of will my team to victory. But I think the point I realized when I was like, oh man, like I'm actually something, was my sophomore year. I got a letter from Virginia Tech. It was a letter. It wasn't a scholarship offer, obviously. It was a letter of interest. And from there, I was like, oh yeah, it shifted a little bit. It was just seeing that, like, oh, I did have a good AAU season. Oh, somebody did see me. Oh, my coaches were right. Never know who's watching. So just getting that letter of interest my sophomore year was kind of a turning point.
Gotcha. And so, you know, finishing off high school, man, kind of where did it go from there in terms of that letter? And then just kind of finishing off high school as far as not only the grind, but mentally with the game. And how did that transition into your first year of college?
Okay. That it's a lot of layers that goes into my high school process, right? So, like I said, I played varsity since I was a freshman. We had an AAU program that went to nationals and finished. I made maybe top 20 that year, something like that. However, came back, had a dominant sophomore season, and I just continued to be dominant my sophomore year, my junior, sophomore season, junior season, senior season. But in the middle of that, I had a major scare, right? It was during my sophomore season, again, having a great year. During practice, I fell out. Not understanding why, blacked out, fell out. And, you know, it was actually a super scary point in my life where later on I was diagnosed with a heart condition called WPW with Parkinson's White Syndrome, right? So at that point, I was able to finish the season. However, I had to have a surgical procedure in the spring of 2002. Spring of 2002, I had to have that procedure done. And then at that point, my AAU season was canceled. So I was in that, dang moment, right? Mm-hmm. I was in that moment, like, what am I going to do? Like, everything has been stripped away from me. My health is most important right now. You know, will I ever play basketball? Like, I questioned so much, will I ever play basketball again? So, you know, but going through that, I started to question, crying with my family. But then I got to the point where I was like, ah, I got it. I need to trust in you more, Lord. So that is what I did. Trusting God more, and going through the rehabilitation sequence to get back on the court, you know, my faith grew. So my faith grew, and at that point, you know, I feel like there was nothing that was going to stop me from my goal of going to Division I. So going over that big hurdle was a big turning point in my life as far as faith. Like, it really catapulted me to another level, you know, with my faith in God. So then, you know, set out that season, you know, came back junior season dominant, and then let her start continue to roll in, right? Let her start rolling in up until, you know, really no offers but heavy interest. And then my senior year, August of my senior year, I had a kid, my daughter Kanaya. And then when the word got out around that, interest just stopped. Everything came to a halt. Everything came to a screeching halt in my recruiting process. And it was like, wait, what? So then I went into another, like, just emotional state. Like, at this point, oh, y'all don't want me? I got a kid now? Bet. So my mindset was different. I am going to prove to every last one of you who did not, who dropped your offer or interest, like, I'm going to show the world that I am good at this game, that I am going to get Division I. So that I had a chip on my shoulder. Okay, yeah, things happen in life. You know, being a teen parent, it was tough. And then now it's like I got something to prove. So it was come hella high water. I was getting to Division I. So coming out, no offers. So then I go JUCO, State Fair Community College. I go there for a year. We had a solid year. They forced the coach to retire. I was like, man, like we got a decent squad. They forced the coach to retire. So then everybody transferred out. And it's like, man, I'm starting over again, right? So it's just, I hit that again. So then, talk about a chip on my shoulder. It got even bigger because Highland Community College is where I went to, right? And I was part of a package deal with my guy, still my brother today, Marvin Johnson. He and I were in a package deal, but Marv was the one that was the headliner in the package deal because before he went ineligible, he averaged 20 points a game. So they were like, oh, we're just going to throw Antoine in. And, like, at this point, I'm like, wow, I'm on the back end of a deal. And I knew that because, like, you know, nobody wasn't really shopping me like that. So they just kind of threw me in. And then when I got to Highland, it was another gear shift. I got to Highland. At this time, I'm a parent. I'm still a teen parent with two kids now, headed to Highland, which is in Freeport, Illinois. And I got a big chip on my shoulder because, you know, I had another kid and, you know, nobody really wanted me. So I was like, I got something to prove. So when the day I stepped on campus, I just went in. Anybody, like, I kept hearing this one person's name every single day. Oh, how good he is, how blah, 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 blah. I'm like, bam, that's my target. That's where I'm going at the rest of the year. So by the end of that year, going through the course of the year, straight dominant season, straight dominant. Average about close to 15 a game, led the team in scoring, second on the team in rebounding, first on the team in field goal percentage, and I won multiple MVP. We played in the tournament, Christmas tournament, I won MVP. I was the regional MVP, and like I think conference player of the year, that was a little bit different. I didn't win conference player of the year. So when I heard about that, I was like, all right, I'm gonna go even harder. So that year I helped lead our team to a 34-2 record. I got every award imaginable. I had, you know, the biggest one was first team All-American. I was only the second person in school history to achieve that award. And on let me tell you how good that team was. We were 34-2. And I was, you know, in a lot of respects, a lot of people's minds, I was the best player, hardest worker, and the energy source on the team. Like, I, you know, dive for loose balls, take charges. You know, I because my motor was high. High motor, skill wasn't that high in skill, but like I had a will to win, and I'll outwork any and everybody that got in my face. So that was in front of me. So that takes me to year two of junior college on my basketball life, my life on the court, and I was just dominant. Like destroy, I mean, like playing against players who were going D1, I mean, embarrassing them. Like I got photos and videos of me dunking on people and like some of these teams that had like these big time caliber players that we just dominated as a team, and like I was, you know, the forefront of that.
Wow, man.
So yeah,
Man, stop.
I mean, like I'm telling you,
Go ahead.
no, see, I'm telling you, yeah, I just I was, I don't know, I was that force, man. I was that, I had that chip on that shoulder, on my shoulder. And like from that point, like I just took that chip. I've always had a chip on my shoulder in life, and if I got too comfortable, I will somehow create a chip and put on my shoulder.
Yeah, and that's honestly that's what great players do, man. You find something. I mean, I studied a lot of the greats, and that's what they do. They figure something out. It's like, oh, okay. I mean, honestly, I used to create a chip as a coach, and my tip would be, oh, so y'all drove down here, y'all drove down here and came in our gym. Okay, all right,
Right,
It may not make
yeah.
sense, but to me, it's like, okay, that's how I got to take it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you trying to score on my basket? Okay, all right.
Right.
So no, that's good to hear, man. So what was your next step, man? You had a great second year there, man. What was your next step?
So my next step was, all right, Division One. So I had, you know, I know D2 was off the table. I just had the year of my life, right? Best year ever. I mean, straight dominant, straight dominant. Started every game that I played, which was I out of 36 games, I played 34 because I had missed a couple of games in the beginning because my dear friend Jerry, his mom passed away from a brain tumor. So I was like, I'm not gonna be here these first couple games. I'm going back home because that's my buddy and his mom, and I was with him every step of the way, and we still talk to this day. And that meant more to me than the game of basketball. I was like, I need to be there for my friend, right? So fast forward to like, all right, we in a situation where I'm seeing others get scholarships before me. They getting scholarship offers before I did. I think I was probably fifth to get the scholarship offer, and that scholarship offer came from Winthrop University. Greg Marshall was the head coach. Earl Grant was the assistant. Earl Grant is now at College of Charleston, having a very successful career there as a head coach. So he was heavy in the recruiting process, and you know, they there was a it was just a crazy situation. That was like, I was about winning. You know, I wanted to win. When I heard about Highland, hey, you want to go? They just came from Nationals. Bet. Yep, I'm out. Winthrop, man, they just had another great year, won the chip. You know, cool, great. So I get the offer. I accept the offer sight unseen. I was like, I don't need to see the campus. I'm cool. I believe in myself. Where do I sign? And you know, going, you know, obviously I look online to see who's coming back, who averaged what, to see where I fit. And you know, I was like, you know what? They won. They got to the tournament. I'm there. I know I can help her. I just had the craziest year of my life playing basketball. Let's go. So I get on campus, and man, I did not realize what it took to be a Division One basketball player. Like I thought I worked hard, like outworked everybody. I thought I was like, oh no, this is different. So I went through another phase where I this was different. I was like, yeah, this is Division One, but man, this is championship level Division One because there's levels to it. We all know there's levels to it. So getting to Winthrop, Division One, oh man, they're gonna we got games covered locally, regionally, which was big for me. That was a part of the decision making was regional games and national games. So my family was able to watch me on ESPN, Fox Sports South, in Clarksville, Tennessee. So, you know, having all these games covered and my family be able to see me was fantastic, right? So that was a part of the process. I get there, I go through my first individual workout and could not finish. I was getting torched by Michael Jenkins. Okay, 20 minutes into the workout, coach was like, get his tail out of here. I had to run on the track where the concourse was basically was a track the rest of the workout. And I was like, oh, this is intense. I was not prepared for it. You know, I trained in the summer and like again, it's levels to it. I had to figure this thing out because it was a shock for me. It was a major shock for me. And it was like, well, I can't lose. I've been winning all my life. And again, these internal conversations happen like, man, I just got my tail kicked. How am I going to respond? And that's one of the things that I've taken in like in my life. How am I going to respond? And I think anybody who hears that, hear this podcast, every time you get yourself in a situation that's deemed unfavorable, not favorable, I want you to ask yourself this question: how am I going to respond? And because what you do is you center yourself at that point and you really lock in. Without you're not making a decision with your emotions, you're centering yourself and you're asking yourself this question: okay, I'm here. How am I going to respond? How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to continue that pursuit to the goals and dreams and aspirations that I have for myself? So I had to center myself and figure out what does this next level look like? How am I going to get out of this? I just had the best year of my life, man. I was a first team All-American. Nobody's ever done that. I got all these MVP trophies, big trophies. Like, all right, humble myself, spend more time, and then because I got excited, I achieved that goal of going Division One, and it's like somewhere wrong. God is going to always get your attention. When he feels like you have lost, you know, you have neglected him, you know, because the good word says our God is a jealous God. So got my attention, and I struggled my first semester, Division One. I absolutely struggled. Absolutely struggled. Didn't see the floor much. And let me tell you, here's one of the biggest things that happened, right? Coming back from my teammates probably going to listen to this. Probably one of it was the turning point of my career at Winthrop. You know, I was struggling to get on the court first semester. I play here, play there, give a spark, you know, things of that nature. Because I'm really trying to, because you know, Division One, you got defensive schemes, you got all these plays. I'm like, what? So Christmas break happens. We get 4 days for Christmas. On the way back, had a great Christmas. On the way back, I was supposed to meet one of the women's basketball players in Knoxville, hitch a ride with her to go back to school. I'm late getting there. She leaves because she has practice, so I'm stuck in Knoxville, Tennessee. I have to take a Greyhound bus from Knoxville, Tennessee to Rock Hill, South Carolina, and I miss practice. My goodness, miss practice, like what? You don't do that. So I was telling, so when that happened, I said I wasn't gonna be back, or I can't remember if I oh no, she arrived back and I wasn't with her. So people start calling my roommates, teammates start calling my phone. I didn't answer anybody's call, didn't respond to anybody's text messages. I was just like, man, I'm nervous. Like, man, what's going to happen to me when I return? Man, that was the biggest mistake that I made, was coming back late. You know, that was one of his three rules, is like, don't be late, right? So I broke one of the cardinal rules. I was late coming back, missed the whole practice, didn't communicate. And he told me, I'm going to run you until you quit. And I was like, man, I'm faced with another adverse situation. You know, self-inflicted. You know, I've had I guess a habit of that. Self-inflicted, that I put myself in a tough position to defy the odds, right? So I'm on here before practice, after practice, I am running these eights. I had to run them in, and they were timed 48 seconds, 47 seconds. And if I don't make them, they add another one, right? So this was probably a week straight. Not a week straight. It was probably like 4 or 5 days straight of this. And, you know, try to run me until I quit, run me out of gym, send me home, be done with me. But then I had to ask myself, how am I going to respond? So made it through all of that. We go to Texas A&M, play them. The starting wing had a foot issue. So then at this point, I had a semester to learn everything down. I got everything down. I went through this grueling process of, you know, earning the coach's trust back, right? So push come to shove, he gets hurt. First conference game, guess who's inserted in the starting lineup? I am. Come out against VMI, and it was my type of game. You know, get up and down, they pressed a lot, so it's gonna be a lot of open gaps, and you know, it's gonna be, they like to junk it up, right? So I come out, we win that game. I had 21 points, 22 points. And then we had another game on the road against High Point, and then I hit a game-winning shot and had 21 points and just kind of dominated these first two games. And like, I was in now. Like, I got it. I'm here now. So again, going back to how I respond and having these aha moments where I just like, yeah, this is it. I got it now. This is the person that, you know, I'm supposed to be. And like, but I had to go through the process, and I couldn't skip any steps. You know what I'm saying? I think if whoever listens to this, you know, really hone in on the process and understand you can't skip any steps. And whatever comes into your face, the adversity, you have to respond in a way that you're going to defeat it. You're going to overcome it, because understand that adversity is going to continue to creep up and show its face throughout life. And it's all about how you respond to that.
Man, that's some good stuff right there. Cause you know, I coached at Winthrop, so I kind of know the landscape a little bit, man. And kind of brings back some memories when I hear you talk about it and the fact that you were there, man. And you know, it's good stuff, man. You know, especially to hear the stories about how you overcame things. And I had a story like that. I played in Miami, Ohio, and I was coming back from Christmas. We had a couple of days off. And so I was at home for Christmas, 2 hours away, and drove home, ate Christmas dinner. We had practice the next day at noon. So no snow on the ground, nothing on Christmas Day. I wake up at 6 o'clock. Christmas, the day after Christmas, it's a blizzard. Didn't know, didn't look at no news or nothing. Just figured I'm gonna get up and get back 2 hours away, and I'm gonna be at practice. Man, it took a 2 hour trip. Took me 5 hours to get back to school, and I was late for practice. And although the circumstances, everybody knew, but I think I might have been the only player that left and went home. I walked back in practice. Of course, I got it. So I'm thankful that I made it there, but I literally had to go 2 hours away and drive about 30 to 40 miles per hour the whole time because that's how bad it was. And so, that's one of them things, man. When I hear that story that you told me, I can't imagine, what you had to
Oh
go
my
through, man.
goodness.
It's just like one of them things, man. So, and yeah, man, that's interesting, man. So, as you finish, go ahead.
How was so how was that for you? Because like I you were a stud. Like I was still trying to find my way first semester. I'm kind of in a doghouse. I'm not picking up everything how I should. So I'm not one of the favorable players on the team at this point. I'm in the rotation every now and then. I'm probably seventh or eighth. But you on the other team, you probably was a
Nobody.
starter.
No,
So it had to be different.
I was a
No?
walk-on in college. So
Oh, wow.
I was a
Oh, okay.
walk-on, and I mean, I was pretty good still, but I had to walk on. I was at Miami on academic scholarship, and I took that over going to some lower level schools because my grades, I had a 3.8. I graduated 11th in my class, so I was, it was different. So I was like, I'm gonna go on and go to Miami. My education paid for, and I'm gonna walk on because I just knew I knew I had games. So I'm like, I'm gonna walk on. I got a spot. I'm gonna go take my spot. It's all good. So I walked on the team, man. And so that's how much more me being late. It can't be doing that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
So, but I learned
right,
my lesson, man.
right.
And Coach, I mean, he understood. I think the worst part of it for me was him having to say what he had to say to me. I didn't run any extra or anything like that, but he kind of understood because, I mean, it was a blizzard. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, a real blizzard. It was bad. So, but yeah, man,
That's
back to your story
crazy.
though, man. So after finishing up at Winthrop, man, what was your mindset? Was it, I'm trying to do pro, I'm trying to go into coaching, trying to go back to the crib and work? Like, what was your mindset?
Oh man. So at this point in my life, I graduate and I'm not with my kids' moms, right? And I at this point I have a family, right? And it's like there is no job. I felt like there was no job in the world, being as naive as I was, like I gotta make it. I gotta play pro, semi-pro, something. I gotta figure it out, right? So it was months and months of like no success. I ended up having an opportunity to play like in Mexico in this real lower level league. It wasn't Super Copa League, which I'm not even sure if that's around. But lower level Mexico League, but I was only there 6 months. It was a struggle. I they dismantled the team, and it's like, man, this I know I'm better than this. Like, I know I'm better than this. This is not enough, right? So it's just like I go through that, come home in the off season, work at a place on the army base, and just really trying to chase. Just really trying to chase it. And then finally I get an opportunity to play in this the PBL league, semi-pro league in Sterling, Illinois. And we had a great team. It was a new team and we ended up getting to the semifinals of the league championship, which was cool. We went up to Rochester, New York and played the I think the Razor Sharks or something like that. It was a great year. We had a lot of players on that team that were really good. So yeah, it was cool, man. It wasn't as promising as I would have liked it to be, going through those, I guess, 2.5, 3 years of just kind of finding my way. So then reality had to set in. It was like, you know what? It's time to move in a, a different direction. So I was like, I couldn't let ball go. So then I, tried coaching. So I was here in Illinois, before I even went to play semi-pro, I was trying my hand in coaching with this junior college, Rock Valley, the men's team. So did that for half a semester, and then that's when I went and played semi-pro. After that, I got out and I got a regular job. Got a regular job working at the Rockford Park District, and then I get a call from my AD, well, from the AD slash head coach that I had at Highland. He calls me and says, "Hey, our women's basketball coach resigned yesterday. I don't know anybody else to call. We need somebody to take over women's basketball." I was like, "What?" And at this point, I'm like, I was kind of really like not feeling the gig I was at. You know, I had a major pool at the gig I was at. You know, Rockford Park District, great place to work for, probably one of the brightest spots in Rockford. However, I was like, you know, this I need to move on from this. So he calls like, you know, "We need somebody to take over, you know, blah blah blah." Push come to shove, me and a young lady took over the program. They were losing at semester break. By the time we finished with them the rest of the year, we went, I think we went 12-10. We went 12, and so we had a winning record and ended the year, I think, a game under 500. And one of our players got honorable mention All-American because she was a walking double-double, undersized walking double-double. And we just kind of helped, you know, wheel that team, coach them up really well. So then it was like, man, all right, we're going to go back for another year. We're going to, you know, get out here, recruit, figure it all out, right? We come back the next year. Again, that's a half a year. And there's a lot of freshmen on that team. We get a lot of players come back. We get some transfers in. And it was like, all right, we're rolling. So we ended up that first full season, we go, I forgot our record. We had a winning record. We win the region. And then we go to nationals. Like, that's the first time in school history that we went to that the women's basketball team goes to nationals. So we go down to Lubbock, Texas, play a game, lose, but we get all the awards: coach of the year, player of the year, MVP, three girls on all tournament team, three girls on the all region team, conference player of the year. Like, so we racked up so many awards. And we had that same young lady who won All-American before, she wins it again. So she has back-to-back All-American season in 2 years, scored 1,000 points and had like 980 rebounds in two seasons. Unreal, right? So, you know, we have that situation, and then very successful year. So the coach, she decides to just move on. So then, like, now I'm in a position to head coach. So I go from volunteer assistant, just coming in, "Hey, I'm gonna help you out. You know, I really care about Highland, so I'm gonna come and help," to the assistant coach, to the head coach. Head coach, I'm doing it all by myself. Recruit a team in a summer, 15 girls, international. I had a couple international girls, a couple kids from Chicago, a couple kids from Detroit, couple local kids. So like that mixture of everybody together, you know, just getting everybody on the same page to, you know, try to repeat and win another ship. You know, ended up you know, we lost in a championship. And throughout this process, even as an assistant, I kind of just submerged myself in women's back into basketball, into women's basketball. All right, what is it going to take to advance myself and build as a coach? How am I going to respond? Going back to that, I get hit with this. I can't, you know, I don't want to say no because I love ball. I get in these adverse situations as an assistant coach, as a head coach, like, how am I going to respond? So go on to have very successful year as an assistant, lost in the championship as a head coach. So then I have an opportunity to go Division I. one of my players signed at one of my players, and this is the I think second time and third time in school history that a kid signed Division One. One of my players, international, she played very well. She signed to Longwood. Right, I built a relationship. Well, actually, the coach, one of the coaches, you know how it works. One of the coaches at Longwood told me about Christina, and she left West. She left Palm Beach. Come with me. Have a great year, and you know they want her back. Cool, they got her. I'm still recruiting. She signed in April, and then that coach, she tells me, "Hey, I'm leaving Longwood. You should apply." Bet I'm gonna apply. So I apply, go through the process and end up getting hired. So, and that is you talking about a 1 year as a head coach, 1 year as an assistant, and a half a year as a volunteer assistant. And then I get a Division One assistant job. Like that doesn't happen, you know, that doesn't happen. But building relationships, being loyal, being a person of my word. You know, and most importantly, just having faith in God, you know, having faith in God that he knows the desires of your heart and trusting in him that it all is going to happen if you believe, if you are obedient. Okay. So that's kind of been like my journey as a coach to get in that situation. The coach was in the last year of his contract, which it's cool, I get it, but whenever, you know how it is, whenever someone is, you're trying to get a job, well, they always look at your experience. You got Division One coaching experience, like, man, does that have to be a prerequisite? So just knowing that and building relationships, you have to play the game, so to speak. So, you know, going through that, and then having that opportunity after that year, after, again, building relationships. One of the relationships that I built took me to Texas Tech as a VC. And, yeah. And all of that in a span of 4.5 years, like, that doesn't happen. That does not happen to people. You go from JUCO as a volunteer to Power 5.
Yeah, man. That's amazing stuff, man. And just those experiences, man, you went through, man, it just shows how the hand of the Lord was on you. And, you know, now you're turning around and you're inspiring others, you know, based off of your experiences, man. Kind of talk about what you have going on today and what you do in your business.
So, yeah, so that's exactly it, you know. I always, you know, coaches have and people, mentors that I've had in my life have always just, you know, built that environment of, you know, influencing me, motivating me, inspiring me, educating me, just on everything, every level of life. So now I'm in this position where, yep, launched my business, and the goal of my business, first and foremost, is to serve the people, to serve people and add value to their lives and be able to talk about my experiences and some of the things that I've used in my experiences to help them in their experiences. Like, everybody's going to be the same. I mean, everybody's road is going to be different. The journey is going to be different. But there are some things that you can take from my journey and implement in your life. Like, I like to call it the ah effect, right? What I mean by that is, this is a two-letter word that we use in our daily life. As a ball player, when I played and went baseline and dunked on somebody, the first thing I yelled out of my mouth was, ah, let's go. So that, screaming that brought energy to my body. Right? It brought energy to my body, and I was ready to play defense. I was ready to play defense because, like, I got our team rolling, and that eye effect just really changed it, right? When I figured it out when I was at Winthrop playing basketball, like, when I figured out the system schemes, like, ah, I got it. You know, ah, there it is. Ah, I see it now. So the ah effect and how using it really kind of help mold and shape your day, because we use it as a release. Sometimes negatively, when we hurt ourselves, we use ah. You know, when the light bulb goes off in our head, you're like, aha. So just kind of embracing that, right? And getting people to embrace the ah in their life, the ah effect, is just really going to impact your day and really just change the energy of your day and of your life on how you respond. Because it all goes back to that. So I just want to add value when it's students, teachers, student athletes, leaders, you know, just trying to be able to help them capture all of that, you know, capture all of this and what's going on in your life to be able to catapult you to the next level.
It's good stuff, man. And definitely it's a great need for value in those spaces, man. We're so familiar with it. But you know, to have someone to turn back and give back, it means a lot. And it's great that you're doing what you're doing, and I definitely appreciate you sharing about what you're doing. You know, kind of as we turn this corner, man, I do want to give you a chance to share anything that I might have missed in going through your story, that you wanted to share about it, as well as wanted you to share just something that for you live by that has helped you, you know, out of tough times. Of course, you shared a lot of things that you've been through and that God has brought you out of and experiences and different things. But, you know, if there's like a scripture or a motivational, you know, piece that you kind of kept in mind that helped you to walk through things. So if you could share those two things, that'd be great.
Yeah. Okay. First thing is, I didn't touch on, like, back in January of 2020, I had an honor to be inducted into the NJCAA Region 4 Hall of Fame, which that was an award that I never thought I would receive. So I had a major ceremony back in January, actually February 1st of 2020, big time ceremony. My children were there, my family were there. And it was just a great experience. And like, you know, though, you know, again, it came as a surprise. You know, I didn't know, you know, that I would ever be in anyone's Hall of Fame, right? So that was just a kind of a major, major thing for me. And one of the things, and here's what I think. I think you should leave in everybody with have faith, right? Have faith. You know, my faith is in God. When I go back to the ah, and you look at ah in Hebrew, those two letters, it means of God and from God. So I really live my life because I know I'm from God, right? And you know, I think everybody has a coach. I believe you need a coach in life. You know, someone that can help coach you up in your times. The best of the best have coaches. The best coaches have coaches, right? Invest in yourself. Add value to others. And, you know, the highest and one of the things that I live by is, first of all, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That's the scripture I live by. And one of the mantras is the highest currency that you can give a person is inspiration. And I really believe that, and that's why I have shifted my life to be more of an inspiration, like on a bigger level. Like I have friends that I inspire, I have family members that I've inspired, you know, somebody walking on the street I can, but like now I can do it at a bigger level. And that's what
man, that's good stuff right there, man. Yeah, man. I you know, for me, you know, that you know, that scripture stands out for me, man. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's really true, man. And when you walk with that realization, you know, you go out empowered. you go out as if he is with you. And I think with that, you can accomplish so many great things, man. So that's really good. I'm glad you shared that.
No problem. No problem, man. I want to thank you for just having me on, like, this platform that you have created. And, you know, this is major. This is major.
No, man.
Interview you, baby.
No, I appreciate it, man. And, you know,
I
definitely
love it.
Appreciate
I love it.
Bringing, you know, former athletes on, man, because, you know, the game of basketball and any sport, really, man, it does a lot to just shape who you are. And, you know, I've always said that, you know, when I see people that were athletes and military people, there's a different thing in a way that God uses, like, basketball and, like, military to kind of shape a person. And, of course, I can relate to that because my parents were in the military, and then I played sports, and my dad played sports. So it just kind of – it always holds dear to me when I hear stories from both of those genres of life. And so, you know, to have you on, man, is amazing to hear your story and all that God did through you, man, and all he's doing now, man. So, you know, blessings upon you, man, and I appreciate you being on the show, and I thank you so much, man, for allowing me to interview you.
Coach Sean, I appreciate it, and yep, we will definitely be in touch a lot. I see that in the future, and you keep shining,
man, appreciate
Coach
it, man.
You keep shining out here,
open
baby.
To you anytime, man, and we'll have to do this again soon.
So I hope you enjoyed this, and as we leave this podcast, I definitely want to give a shout out to David Roberts State Farm. David Roberts State Farm. If any auto, home, any insurance type needs that you have, they will provide it for you. They will take good care of you. You can contact them at agentdavidroberts.com, agentdavidroberts.com, or give them a call, 419-420-7700. And for my partners, Dr. Dish, you can reach out to them on social media, drdishbasketball.com, or on social media, Dr. Dish B-Ball. And like I mentioned before, you know, if you are in the market of a brand new shooting machine, you can join the likes of Duke, North Carolina, Baylor, Florida, countless other excellent and amazing programs. Join the ranks of them. Improve your shooting percentage of your players and your team as a whole. This machine, Dr. Dish machines, will definitely help you. And for especially for this holiday season, you can save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish machines, the Rebel, the All-Star model, or the CT model, when you just mention the Interview You podcast. Mention the Interview You podcast in your purchase, and you will receive an extra $300 off of the Rebel, the All-Star, or the CT models of the Dr. Dish shooting machine. So make sure you visit them for your shooting machine today. Well, hey, guys, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode.